Hi, I'm Kaya Yuvan, and you're listening to the Functional Tennis Podcast.
Welcome to episode 16 of the Functional Tennis Podcast. This week, we speak to 18-year-old teenager Kaya Yuvan from Slovenia. Kaya is super nice, smart, and talented. She had a great junior career, and she's transitioned quickly into the WTA Tour. She had a great summer with some fantastic results. She was just about to break into the top 100 before the US Open, but she decided not to play to finish out her school year, take her exams, which is amazing to see. She shares advice that she got from Chris Evert before she played Serena Williams in a tie three-setter this Wimbledon. And also she offers great advice for juniors, as well as telling us the difference between top junior level and the WTA Tour. As usual, if you're new to the Functional Tennis Podcast, hit the subscribe button or tell your friends and family about us. But other than that, let's hear Kaya's story. Hi, Kaya. Welcome to the Functional Tennis Podcast. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Where about are you now?
I'm currently home in Ljubljana practicing with my team.
Great. And tell me, you've been busy studying for exams and you just graduated also, is that true?
Yeah, I just took a 1 or actually 2 month break from tennis. So I was able to finish high school pretty successfully. So I did all of my exams and I'm done. So this is it from high school.
That must be amazing. You're like a successful junior athlete, tennis player, and you're a very successful WTA player. You had a great summer, a great year. And how do you balance like studying and the pro tour life?
You have to be really organized. So it took a lot of my time. We came home and I had exams and then we left and it was, everything's about organization. So how you manage your time and most importantly, how you manage your priorities. Because if you want to do both things successfully, there's a lot of things you have to sacrifice. So past 4 years, I concentrated on tennis and school. So I put other things aside a little bit.
And is your school in a classroom or do you do school over the internet?
No, I did a regular school actually. I did test quite frequently. I basically every time I came home from tournaments, I went straight to the classroom and had exams for all of my subjects.
That must be, your friends must think you're a superstar, superwoman, the way you can go on. Brilliant, nearly beat Serena Williams at Wimbledon and then you're back in school. What do your friends say?
I think my friends don't see me that way. I try to balance tennis and personal life. And when I'm with my friends, I try to talk about other stuff, not just tennis. So I think they see me as a normal person, not as a superstar. And I really like that because I think it's important you have people that, you know, are not in tennis also. But on the other hand, they're really happy for me. They're really supportive. And I think each one of them tries to help me as much as they can. So they're pretty great.
They sound like a good bunch of friends. You're right. It's good to have some normal friends.
Yeah.
Are you any interest in going to college at all?
Well, I'm pretty sure I'm going to do university at one point, but it took a lot of my energy so far, high school, because it wasn't really easy to finish it. But I think in the future, I'm really interested in a lot of stuff. So I'm thinking about doing some online courses maybe. And then after a year or two or three, we'll see how my tennis goes. I'm really interested to ongoing university. And I'm just continuing my education because I think it's really, really important.
And your parents are both doctors. Have they pushed you to go into that? They say, Kaya, you have to go do medicine, or they just like do what you want to do?
Well, actually, my parents never forced me to do anything. I think that's why I actually love playing tennis and I really enjoy it. I mean, my dad loves to play tennis, so I think he's pretty excited about me actually going pro. But I think also they just want me to be happy. And I think that's the biggest thing that actually divided me from other players is that I always had free hands. I always could practice as much as I wanted to. But at first, they didn't expect me to actually become a pro. Everything just came gradually. And I think that's really, really important in our days because sometimes even parents can be too competitive. And mine are just not the case of that.
That's so good to hear because I'm sure you've done the junior circuit worldwide and I'm sure you've seen all the pushy parents out there.
A lot of times I see parents that just try to force their children to play too much and I see players that just don't like to play tennis anymore. They don't like to compete because they're under too much pressure. And I always had the chance to try a lot of things when I was a little younger. I even played volleyball once. I did all these extracurricular activities. And I think that helped me to decide that I really like tennis more than the other stuff. And I think that's the right recipe, because I really do know a lot of players that stop playing tennis because of their parents, and it's not the nicest thing to hear, you know. So.
No, I agree. And a lot of those people end up not playing tennis. They end up hating it and they move on. Are your parents tennis players?
My dad plays quite some tennis. He plays, you know, like leagues in Slovenia. And so does my brother currently. My mother used to play tennis a little bit more often. She now plays it maybe once a month. I think so. Don't take my word for it. But they're both pretty good players, at least for, you know, recreational players. So... But most importantly, they always, you know, try to put me in some sort of sport activities so that I liked it. And everything just kind of came by itself. I could try a lot of different sports. I was in the nature a lot. We used to go walking and, you know, to the sea and do all of these sport activities. And that was really fun. So I think they had a big, big part of me going into tennis.
Sounds like a lot of players that I've spoken to so far had their, when they're grown up, they're allowed to play multiple sports, and that obviously gives them options, but also allows you to develop other skills as well that help in tennis. Then obviously if you like one, then it's nice to be able to follow on, and you're extremely good as a junior. When did you start traveling on the ITF circuit?
I think I was about 13. I actually developed a little bit late. I was pretty tiny when I was younger. You can also see it on the video that you posted.
It was a great video.
Yeah, I was really, really tiny and I couldn't compete to a lot of girls. But then when I was about 13, 14, I started growing a little bit. So I got the ranks in Slovenia and I started traveling as well. And it went pretty fast. So but we only travel, you know, closer to Slovenia, to countries like Italy or Austria. We didn't go too far away. And I think my first tournament that I went really, really abroad was in Australia. So in Australian Open 2016. So I think that was my first actual tournament on another continent than Europe.
So getting back to that video, your under 14 video, you're actually pretty. You hit a mean backhand there and take the ball nice and early. It was really impressive. I thought, looking at it, it didn't seem like a 14-year-old. Like, I still see some of the top 14-year-olds now don't hit the ball there. So obviously, you were extremely good from a very young age. 2016, you played all the Grand Slams. Did you win doubles at Wimbledon?
That was in 2017. I won Orange Bowl in 2016, I think.
Oh, yeah. So. What was it like to win the Orange Bowl? It's been such a prestigious tournament.
Well, obviously, it was really great. I mean, actually, my first tournament that was my big break was actually in Milan. I came to the finals and it was really unexpected. But Orange Bowl was really, really great. It was like the first time that I started to feel that I could do this for a longer amount of time. The break in the junior tour, I beat some of the best players. I beat Potapova, who was number one at the time. So that was a great thing for me for the future. And it gave me a lot of motivation. And I started thinking about tennis in general more seriously, if you could take it that way.
People who do well at that tournament obviously move on and can be very successful with the right attitude. And so that was in 2016. Then 2017, you played all the Grand Slams. You won Wimbledon doubles, which must have been unbelievable to win Wimbledon of all tournaments. Which Grand Slam is your favorite from playing all four?
I would say Wimbledon is my favorite. I mean, I always really like Wimbledon. I think grass is one of the most special surfaces there is. I just love the feeling of it. It's kind of like playing on the carpet, so I always liked it. And this year, that was actually my first Grand Slam singles win. I couldn't get past the first round in juniors. I had a bit of a lucky draw, but an unlucky draw most of the times, but still, that first round win, that was really a big thing for me, even if it was only juniors. So I'm really happy, and I think Wimbledon's always gonna have that most special place in my heart.
Well, yeah, especially after this year, you had a great first round win against Pliskova, and then you played Serena, which I saw the highlights and you were very impressive. You definitely scared Serena. And I've seen Serena go to three sets with quite a few people. But normally the third set, she sort of gets the run of herself. She blows them apart. But she had to work extremely hard to break you. And what was it like to play Serena?
That was really special. I actually honestly never thought that, you know, I was going to play Serena in my career, because to be honest, not a lot of people have that opportunity. But when I found out I was playing her, I was actually pretty terrified. I was scared for 2 days straight. And then I just, because I don't have that many experience, and I don't have that much experience. And with my first top 50 player, and not just a top 50 player, she's, you know, Serena, which is even more special. When I went to the court, there was actually Roger Federer just came out of that court, number one, and he wished us both good luck. And that was pretty shocking. So great. I was like, I didn't know what to say exactly. I was just like, focus, Kaya, focus. And then I went on the court and I wasn't nervous at all anymore. I just decided that I'm going to play. I actually talked to Chris Evert. I had like a session with her, not tennis session, but just like we talked a bit, and she gave me some tips, and she gave me this great advice, which was don't be scared when she hits strong, because even if she hits strong, she's gonna also miss strong. So that was one of the great advices, and I just thought to myself, you know, just wait for your chance, try to take as many balls as you can, as many points as you can. And I wasn't nervous at all, and it was actually one of the matches that I really enjoyed, I really loved. And I think at some point I even got some crowd on my side, so it was really cool to hear, though, because she's also Serena and you don't expect people to cheer for you at all. So yeah.
Was the reaction afterwards, did you have a lot of press onto it? Was it the biggest ever like press moment afterwards? Were you getting loads of messages? What was that like?
Well, yeah, I got a lot of messages from Slovenian people. I think almost everyone I know from Slovenia texted me at one point saying, you know, wow, you did great. Or they put me on, you know, Instagram stories. And it was really overwhelming. But I guess I could say I'm a little bit of a perfectionist. Yes, I'm really happy about that match, but it's still a loss. So I just want to work on it. And next time I want to win this, because, you know, if you beat Serena, that's got to be our big break. And I think at some point I'm going to be ready, and that's going to happen for me also.
It will happen.
Thank you.
I know. And I know it will happen. You do love the grass. You did a good run in Mallorca also before Wimbledon. So you definitely, you feel the grass quite well.
Yeah, for sure. I really like the grass. It's really hard to play on though. In Mallorca, my body I played 3 matches and my body was really hurting. It's really a special feeling. I mean, there's actually a footage of me walking on stairs. And it was just, it looked terrible. It looked like I can't control my legs. I had so much pain. And I guess you don't really know how it is until you play it. I also played against Jabeur, who played drop shots. And I don't think I ever ran as much in my life as I did on that match. I think it must have been like 50 times towards the net. So stopping on grass is another thing also. You know, you have to be really in balance, because otherwise you slip. So I'm really, really glad, because in Wimbledon, I felt really good afterwards. So I'm glad I had the experience of Mallorca, because I played even more matches at Wimbledon, and my body got kind of used to it, which is, I think that was the right decision to make.
Yes, it shows it was. It shows it was getting through qualies in Wimbledon and then onto the main draw and getting the win and then pushing Serena tied was definitely the right decision. I know I'm working backwards here. Wimbledon, Mallorca, French Open. You did a great win against Coco. I know Coco Gauff got all the press at Wimbledon for the first week. It was just her getting the press, but it must be great, first of all, to beat her. And two, it's going to be a rivalry moving forward, I'd say. Well, I know, let's say.
Well, actually, at the time, Coco didn't have a ranking. So after I beat her, it was a nice match, but I didn't feel like it was something really special, because, you know, until then, we were also on the same tournaments in America. I think she came to like maybe first round or then one semifinal, I'm not sure, quarterfinal. But, you know, no one was like, oh my God, you're already, you know, top 50 level. So at that time, I thought it was, you know, just another match at qualies.
Yeah.
Nothing special. And then she, you know, blew up really fast, but she also practices really hard. And for her age, she's really mature. I mean, she's like, I think 15. At 15, I would never be even mentally able to play at that level, which just shows how hard she must work, how much she must put into you know, playing. And also, apparently, she has a great team, and I know her coach, and he actually congratulated me after the French Open, after our match, and that's really not a nice move from the coach, because they usually don't do that, so... I can say that I think she has a pretty great team, so I really respect her.
Well, I'm sure there's going to be some great matches between you and her in the future. This podcast is brought to you by ASICS Tennis. ASICS is a Japanese company founded in 1949 with the purpose of giving more people the opportunity to experience how sport and movement can have a positive impact on mental well-being. They just launched their most innovative tennis range ever. Get the new Cord FF3 Novak or Gel Resolution 9 at ASICS.com. ASICS Tennis have also just launched their new Cord FF3 Novak, the only tennis shoe designed with Novak Djokovic input. To learn more about ASICS, visit their website www.asics.com. Now, I'm going to jump forward to the US Open. You were hoping to not make main draw US Open so you could study, which is amazing. Did you feel while you were studying for your exams or graduating, did you feel that you were missing out, or were you just, had you mentally prepared, say, I'm missing the US Open and next year I'll be there to win a lot of matches?
Yeah, well, you know, there's two sides of every story. It was pretty hard at first because I was really close to a top 100 at that point, and I think I would just need like a few more tournaments to, you know, break into top 100. Obviously, it wasn't hard for me to play. I had a lot of matches, and I played against Serena, so my confidence was also pretty high. But on the other hand, after I stopped feeling sorry for myself, which lasted for about 2 days, I decided, you know, I made this decision to finish school, and I wanted to finish it well, and there's no turning back. So I was in study mood for about 3-4 weeks. Unfortunately, our school system doesn't allow us to do the exams on the time when there's no Grand Slam. And this was actually the second term. So the first term would be during Roland Garros and Wimbledon. Yeah, I made this decision. I had all of the exams. There were 8 of them. I had them in 1 week and a half maybe. And I was really in that mood, and until I finished it, I didn't think about US Open at all. And then I think there was like half a week left after I finished it, and it kind of hit me, you know, I'm not playing it. I watched Bianca play the finals against Serena, and I felt a little bit sad, but when I got the results, I just felt relieved because it's not that easy to do all of them. Especially if you're not at school a lot of the time. And I'm really happy that I can focus on tennis now. And I think there's no looking back. I think that's really important for me right now.
Well, it's done now. So you're back training. So all the work was worth it. You're not far off the top 100. So a few tournaments and we will hopefully see in the top 100. And then you can move forward again. Hercog Polona is also from Slovenia. Have you practiced with her?
Actually, I haven't yet. There were a lot of times when we wanted to practice, but unfortunately, we just couldn't get the timing right. And also with my school, we couldn't, you know, go anywhere. So we couldn't find the timing. And I think it's going to be okay now. I think we're going to practice more. But because she's a great girl, so we talk a lot on tournaments. We're actually supposed to practice in Wimbledon, but apparently it just wasn't meant to be. So I'm sure I can learn a lot from her. She has a really great game. And also I practice with Tamara Zidanšek. She's the other girl from Slovenia.
Oh, yeah.
That's actually in the top 100. So they both helped me a little bit. I also talked to Tamara's coaches. And they're all really nice people. And I think, you know, because we're so small, we try to help each other with everything. So anytime, you know, we have something to ask or we have some issues, they try to help us. And I think because we're such a small nation with actually only 2 million of people, that's really...
2 million only?
Yeah, in the whole Slovenia. So that's the whole country. So that's really special.
What's the secret to successful tennis coming from Slovenia?
I don't know. I guess we're just like a sports nation. We have quite some sportsmen that are successful that come from Slovenia. And I think it's because we just know how to stand together. We know how to help each other. And, you know, when there's not a lot of people that can help each other, it's more, you know, focused individually on a person. And we didn't win the finals yesterday of the European Championships of volleyball, but it was like a great success. And I think every person from Slovenia watched it. And I think when people stand together, it can show it. So for us, even second place is really special. Well, from, you know, if you would be from maybe England or France, you know, they get so many medals that maybe they don't feel it's that special anymore. Just like in football, that's how it happens. Yeah, the French are really disappointed with, second place or third, I don't know.
Do the Tennis Federation help you out?
Well, yeah, they try to help me. I think they're really generous with it. We don't have a big federation because there's not a lot of people here, but they try to help me as much as they can. And I think just the effort is really nice because, you know, it shows that they want me to succeed. And I think that's really important for me. And I'm really lucky that I got some other sponsors quite early also, because otherwise I don't know if I would even be able to continue this path. So that's great.
I hadn't planned on touching on this, but what are your main costs, let's say, for 2020? You're going to break into the top 100 and you obviously want to build a good team, but what is your main cost for the next year?
You mean like where are we going to spend money or just what are we going to focus on?
What are you going to focus your budget on for the next year to help you grow your game? What do you think is important?
Well, obviously, the first thing that's, I think, most important is that you have a great team around you. We added another coach, so I have two now, so they can, you know, do tournaments. You know, they don't have too many tournaments. It doesn't all fall on one person.
Oh, yeah.
And I have like a psychologist and also a physical coach and a masseuse and, you know, a physiotherapist. And I think having the people around you is sometimes even more important than having the right conditions to practice. So we're going to focus my budget on that first of all. And obviously, we're going to go on some more tournaments next year. So, you know, there's plane tickets. And I think it's really nice that you don't spend too much money on where you're going to live in, but still enough that you feel good at the environment that you are during the tournament. So, you know, that you come somewhere when you feel safe.
And will you travel with that whole team to the major tournaments next year?
No, I don't think so. At least not yet, because, you know, it's still too expensive. But I'm going to practice with one or two members of my team, because obviously if I'm going to go to WTA, there's some great physios there and some, you know, masseuses. And I think so I don't need it as much there, maybe as my coach. So, yeah, for sure. But on Grand Slams, they're going to go with me probably. And maybe not Australian Open because it's too far away, but French Open and Wimbledon.
Yes, it's great that you realize how important the team is, that it's tough to do this on your own. And also a team provides, it's like your family, really. And it's good to have your family when you travel because it makes you feel better, I'm sure, and more relaxed.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like a second family. The thing that happened when I was younger is that my parents worked a lot. I mean, they still do, so they're doctors. So my coach went with me, so I guess that was also a good thing. I got used to just my coach there, not also my parents. And yeah, and then, you know, they're my second family. I spend a lot of time with them every day, you know, even more than my parents sometimes. So to feel good around these people and that they make you feel good is, I think, the most important thing that there is on tour, actually, on tennis tour.
Yeah, no, I agree. It makes a big difference. So I have just a few more questions to ask you. But first is, what is your 2020 goal, ranking wise? What target are you going to set yourself?
Well, honestly, I haven't thought about it that much because my main focus right now is to develop physically and also mentally so that first I'm able to play with the players that are on top. Because I think when you're ready to play with top players, your ranking's going to go up anyways. But of course, I'm thinking of cracking the top 100. And then for next year, I don't have as many expectations because it's actually my first year that I'm going to be fully pro. So far, I had school, which was, you know, I had to come back to it a lot of times. And I just didn't feel write professionally. Those are my main goals. And then if I crack the top 50, I'm going to be super happy. And then from there on, it's just bigger and bigger goals. But I feel like there's no pressure involved. So I think that's also great.
If this was an exam, that question was one of, you would get an A+ for that answer. Because we spoke to so many coaches, and look, it's not about getting the win. It's not about ranking goals. It's about trusting the process and building on what you know you have to build in. Build on, if you work on that, the results will come. So that was definitely a great answer. And it's great to hear you say that. That's great. Second last question is, I heard you want to set up a charity in the future. What area of charity would you like to give back to?
Well, I actually don't know about what kind, but I think tennis is a great game and it's really nice to play it. But I feel like I'm looking at it from a different perspective, in a way that I focus on something bigger than tennis. I want to make a change with tennis. That's my biggest motivation. When I practice, I just want to help people, you know, because a lot of people don't have the opportunity to help other people. So I think it's really nice that if you get the chance, you do all that you can. And I haven't really gotten into it that much, but I think maybe first some environment issue, because I think that's a really popular topic now. Then maybe to help young children play it, to do whatever they want, because I'm really grateful that I have the opportunity to do what I want. And I just can't imagine the people that are actually limited for it, or don't even have like basic stuff they need for living. And then makes me really sad. And if I can just make one person happy, then I'm gonna succeed in my goal. So as soon as I'm gonna be able to put some money aside, if I'm gonna be successful, I really want to start making that happen as soon as possible, and just start involving as many people or maybe sponsors that I can.
Great. I wish you all the best in that.
Thank you.
And last question is, what is your advice for junior tennis players who want to be professional? So let's say they're top 10 in their country, under 14, under 16. What's the one bit of advice that you would give these guys and girls?
I would say that, you know, don't rush it too fast. Just let it happen. Don't put too much pressure on yourself, because it's still juniors. And I would say, you know, focus more on your game than on results, because at the end, if you're going to have a good game, you're going to succeed. And maybe you have great results now, but it's really hard on Pro Tour. And I think if you just stick to yourself, to your routine, and just let it happen, develop things, you know, maybe even play some more tournaments. You know, you don't have to go into it too fast. In WTA especially, players just want to go as soon as they can straight to it. And I would just like to say that when you're going to be ready, great, start and, you know, put everything into it. But first figure out what you like in life, because I think the most important thing is the person likes tennis. And when you decide you want to go pro, you want to know that that's what you like to do in your life. And that's not a small decision. So that's my advice to everyone, that when you, and I'm still pretty young, but when you decided, you have to know that that's what you want to do in your life, because otherwise you can be really unhappy. So don't rush it. That's my advice.
Don't rush it. Great advice. Great advice. I just thought of one other question there. And
yeah,
you've just started the WTA Tour. What is to you the biggest difference between top level of junior tennis and WTA high level, so Grand Slam level? What's the biggest difference? Is it pace of ball, the strength of the athletes, their mental intensity? For you, how do you define the differences?
From my experience, I would say that the biggest difference is probably mentally. I played a lot of girls on tour first on the junior tour, and it's actually about, you know, the consistency of the WTA players, especially the ones on the higher level. They're not gonna let you have any ball easy. I think that's a really big difference, because players on the WTA, they play, that's their job, and they put everything into it. In juniors, you can sometimes like sense, you know, players just play for fun. They sometimes lose focus. you know, they like to compete, but they're maybe not, you know, some players play for their life. So I guess in a way you can really sense that. And when I started playing the Pro Tour, that was my biggest problem. That's why I couldn't break it, because my mental game was a lot of ups and downs. And I started losing like all these tight matches. And when I figured out that I just have to play every point the same, you know, cheer for myself on every point and just try to stay focused, I actually did a big thing and my ranking showed it. So I think that was my biggest step up.
So you just start cheering for yourself, being a lot more positive.
Yeah, exactly.
And trying to stay at the same level.
Every point. I think that was my big break. When I said, like, every point, focus on every ball. If you miss it, don't worry. Just, you know, do a fist, tap yourself on the leg. I don't know what works for each person, but that's what helped me. So go from like 500 to 200 pretty fast.
Well, thanks for that advice and information. It's really good. So Kaya, I really appreciate taking the time for you to come onto the podcast and tell us your story. Hope maybe in 12 months we can have another interview and you've cracked the top 100 and you're causing a lot of upset. So
yeah.
I wish you a great year ahead.
Thank you.
And yeah, congratulations on your success so far.
Thank you so much. No problem at all.
That was amazing. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed that. I thought it was great. Kaya has her head screwed on, which is so good to see for such a young athlete. We wish her all the best moving forward. And again, if you're new, hit the subscribe button or tell your friends and family about us. Until next week, get out there and hit some forehands. Goodbye.